We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Mem Dalet. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a Braisa, which was related to the topic that we had been speaking from the previous daf, regarding the halacha of Shmuel, regarding this halacha about the Tshutfin could be Me'idin Zelazeh, which came into the discussion regarding how could a partner say testimony regarding his partner's half. Isn't that what's called Negeya Bedavar? He's Negeya for the Eidus. There is some type of a bias over there, and a witness is only allowed to testify if he's not related whatsoever to what he's testifying, which brought us to a discussion of a Braisa, which introduced a similar halacha. So it said that if someone sold to someone else a house or a field, so the simple translation of the Braisa sounds like, so he cannot testify regarding that this belongs to this buyer, because if something's going to happen to it, the liability, the insurance is on the seller, so of course he wants to maintain it by the buyer, so there's some type of a bias, therefore he's not allowed to say testimony. But if he sold him a cow or a talus, then he could testify because then there's no achrayas in him. So the Gemara asked, what's the difference? Either one, are they both talking about that there is achrayas? So then neither one should you be allowed to testify. And if they're both talking about that there's no achrayas, so then even in the case of bias or sada, he should be allowed to testify. So that Rav Sheshes gave a whole different interpretation into the simple translation of the Braisa. He described the case where Reuven stole a field from Shimon and then sold the field to Levi. Then Yehuda, some unrelated person, came and contested and said that actually it's not Shimon's, it's not Reuven's, it's not Levi's, it's his. It always was his. Now, the halacha the Braisa is saying is that Shimon is not allowed to go ahead and testify for Levi that it's not Yehuda's, so that gets maintained by Levi. Now, the reason why he would want to do that is because Yehuda is a more difficult person for Shimon to deal with, and he'd rather have it by Levi than he could produce witnesses on Levi than to have to deal with Yehuda. Or the Gemara said that actually it's talking about that both Yehuda and Shimon have witnesses, and if since they cancel each other out, whoever's the muchzik is going to win. So if Levi's going to be able to maintain it, he's for sure barred from a ganav, either way you look at it, so Shimon will win. But if Yehuda gets it first, he's not going to be able to take it away from him, and therefore Shimon wants to, and therefore that's where the negias comes in over here, that he wants Levi to maintain it, therefore he's not believed to say testimony. That was Rav Sheshes' interpretation. That's how Gemara begins and asks on Rav Sheshes, that he explains the case of the Braisa that we're talking about, that this Levi bought the field from Reuven, who is a Goslin. On that, Rav Sheshes explains the halacha, the Braisa, that the Nigzal, meaning Shimon, who was stolen from, cannot testify for the Lekech, that is Levi, against Yehuda. Because as we just explained, he wants it to be maintained over there. On that, asks the Gemara, why do you need that many steps, if that's the interpretation? The Lukma beGoslin, if the Braisa was the halacha like Rav Sheshes explained it, then why would the Tana have to contrive himself to find a case to conceptualize where we're talking about where someone sold someone else a house? That is, it's the Goslin who sold it to the Lekeach. And then it's Shimon, who he's the Nigzal, cannot testify for Levi the Lekeach. You could have had the same halacha that Rav Sheshes is painting of the halacha, the Braisa, with the Goslin himself without having sold it off to a third party. In other words, if Yehuda, an outsider, would come and contest this field that Reuben has now, which he stole from Shimon, the halacha should be that Shimon, the Nigzal, cannot testify to maintain it by Reuven because he's Negeya in that Eidus, as we explained. The reason why he's Negeya is because Reuven's an easier person for him to deal with than Yehuda is. Or that by Reuven he'll have witnesses versus by Yehuda's witnesses, it's going to cancel out and he's not going to get it out from Yehuda. Either way you look at it, the two interpretations from the previous daf. So essentially, the Gemara asked the Braisa should have said as follows, if it's the way Rav Sheshes interpreting. Tan Rabbanan should have said, if someone steals a house or steals a field, the victim is not allowed to testify that this is the Goslin's field because, and again, the way Rav Sheshes interpreted the word Neshach Reyusai, because the end of it is that the Nigzal is going to want to take it away from the Goslin, and therefore he is in the Geber Dover, and therefore he's not allowed to testify that it's not Yehuda's. So why add on the third wheel and say that, okay, it doesn't end over there, that then the Goslin sold it to Lekech, and they can't testify for this Levi. You don't need this Levi to explain the halacha according to Rav Sheshes, the way he's interpreting the Braisa. So the Gemara says, you're right. That could have been the Braisa, but Mishum de Kabayi Lemisna Seifa, but since there's the contrast, there's the Seifa, the Braisa, that had to say the other halacha, then Machale Para Machale Talis, that there the Braisa says, if someone sold to someone a cow, or sold them a talis, a cloak, that then the Braisa says that then the Nigzal could testify regarding the one whose possession it is, and that it's not Yehuda's. where there the halacha is the davka macher. There it has to be with a case of not just someone stealing it, but then the thief selling it to someone else. Because you can't have this halacha allowing the nigzal, the shimon, the victim to testify, unless if it's that someone stole it and then sold it off to someone else. For example, the case we'd be talking about where Reuben the Gazan sold it to Levi the Lekech without insurance, without taking responsibility. Then Yehuda comes and says that it's mine. So that's what the Brice is saying, that Shimon, the victim, could testify for Levi the Lekech that it's not Yehuda's. The reason for that is because in this case, Shimon cannot go back, which was the reason why we said by Karka he cannot testify. Shimon cannot go back and collect it from Levi, and therefore, since he cannot collect it from Levi, he has no negiyus, he doesn't have any gain if it's going to be by Levi versus Yehuda. And the reason for this is because it would be talking about where we hear Shimon, who is the original owner, that he was meyayish, what's called, he gave up hope when it was by Reuben the thief already, before he sold it to Levi. Where there the havala yish, where there you'll have the two important variables that create a transfer from the original owner to when it's stolen from him. We have yish, he gave up hope when it was by the gazan by Reuben. And then you have a shin, the rishos, you have a transfer of domain when it goes from Reuben the gazan to Levi the lekech, the one who buys it from him. Now the significance of this is because even according to the one who says in Baba Kama and Perek Gezel Bastra that Yish itself does not affect a kinyan for a gazan to acquire it from who he stole it from, but Yish and Shin Rishus, if there is a owner gives up hope and it's a transfer from the gazan to someone else, then there is a kinyan, and then the Lekech will acquire it. And the reason for that is because now there's no rights whatsoever for the original owner who is Shimon, and therefore he could testify. Because even if ultimately, this Shimon, which we're explaining was the whole plot and scheme that he had with the Reisha of the Brisa. If let's say he's going to ultimately bring witnesses that Reuben stole from him, he's still not going to be able to get it back from Levi. Because Levi already acquired it with Kinyani of Gizela of Yiyush, of Shimon having been Miyayish, and the Rishin Rishus, that it transferred from Reuben the Gazlan to a new person, to a Lekech, that's Levi. Now, if Yehuda would have taken it from Levi, Shimon would not lose anything in that circumstance, because anyway he wouldn't be able to get it now from who he's maintaining it by, who is by Levi. And therefore, explains the Gemara, this halacha, which is explaining now the safe of the Braisa, is only possible if Reuven stole it and was machra Levi and sold it off to Levi. Because says the Gemara, avoloi machar, if let's say this Reuven the thief would not have sold it to Levi, then the halacha would be the hadrele. Then it could go back to Shimon. Shimon could ultimately go collect it. And therefore, loy. In that situation, Reuben would not be able to testify. Because as long as it's still by Reuben the Gazlan, the nigzal, the Shimon, could go ahead and collect it, even though he was meyayish, because all you had was yish. And therefore, Shimon is not going to be able to testify for Reuben that it's not Yehudis, because he is negay for the Edis. Because he could take it away from Reuben, because all there was yish and no shin rishus. But from Yehuda, he's not going to be able to take it away, because once the courts give it to him, his rights based on the testimony, as we said in the Ibo Yisim in the previous Gemara, even if he'll have witnesses, but Yehuda had witnesses, and they're just going to cancel each other out, and it's going to be maintained in the Chazakah of Yehuda. So that's what the Gemara says. Since the explanation of the Sefer, the Braisa, when he could say testimony when it was regarding this Parah and this Talis, is only feasible to explain it when there was a theft and a sale, so Tana Reisha Nami Machas, that explains, you're right. Really, the case according to Rav Sheish is the way he explains the Braisa could have been even without selling it off. But since the Seifa had to be told about that it was stolen and then sold, so to them we said the Reisha also by when it was stolen and then sold. Which that comes to teach us, and that's the one of the motives of the Braisa, is to tell us that when it's something is stolen and then sold off, that there is a difference between real estate and between movable items, whereby Karka, there, the victim cannot say testimony, because then, as we explained in the previous daf, he is negating the edus, because he could ultimately get it back. Because even if there's yish and shin rishus, that doesn't help anything by karka, because karka can't be stolen. There's no shin rishus. It always is where it is. The land doesn't move. Whereas by metatlin, that's what the Sefer of the Braisa is saying, that he could say testimony, because there, the lekech, the third party, acquires it with the yish of the original owner, and the fact that it changed domain, shin rishus. And then it doesn't go back to the one who's saying testimony. So therefore he's not in the Gebedev, and therefore he could testify to maintain it by this Levi, and that it's not Yehuda could take it, that Yehuda cannot take it away. Now the chiddush of this is because although there is an opinion in Hagoizel, in Baba Kama, that says that when there is first Shin Rishus and then Yish, then there is no Kinyan Gezela. But again, but by Yirush first, and then Shein Rishus, the way the Gemara is describing it, everyone would agree that there the Lekech would be Kaina, and then again, the original owner of the theft is not going to go back to him. Rather, what would happen would be is that the victim would go ahead and collect the monetary value from the one who stole from him, but the thing that was stolen, he can't get back anymore, and therefore there's no investment here whatsoever for the original victim, who we call the Shimon, to not allow him to go ahead and testify regarding Levi that it's not Yehuda's, because he doesn't gain anything anyway, but it's by Levi or Yehuda. Either way, he's not going to get back the object itself. So that's why we said, since the Sefer needs Gazel HaMachar, so the Reish also said Gazel HaMachar. Now, however, the Gemara still asks, but the Sefer Nami, but the Sefer too, why is it that the victim could testify for this Levi de Lekech and to remove it from Yehuda and to maintain it by Levi? But ask the Gemara, and the Hi de Miyayish Megufei, although that the victim, the Shimon, gives up hope of getting back the actual object itself that was stolen, his cow or his talis, he knows he cannot get it back from Levi because Levi already acquired it with the Shin Rishus that came after his years. But ask the Gemara, Mitame mi Miyayish? What, do you think he was gave up hope of the value of what was stolen from him? In other words, you think he was meichel to the one who stole from him the value of what was stolen? It's not true. The one who stole from him still owes him the value of what was stolen, the monetary value. So therefore, ask the Gemara, there is a preference that Shimon wants that this object that was stolen should be maintained by Levi so that he could go ahead and collect the monetary value of what was stolen from him from Reuven. Because if the Shimon wouldn't step in and the courts would go ahead and give it to Yehuda with witnesses that he brings, it would come out that Shimon never really had a portion in this para atalis, and he's not going to have to collect from Reuven at all anything, because the court proceedings will have proven that this was never Reuven's, this was never Shimon's that Reuven stole from and then sold to Levi, because the court just proved that by giving it to Yehuda that it was always Yehuda's. So it was always Yehuda's. So not only is Levi losing, the original victim is going to be losing, because it turns out that it was never his, it was always Yehuda's. So then he is Nageya Be'edus, and therefore why could he say testimony? Because you're right, although the Gemara answered, the object itself he doesn't stand to gain, but it's the whole monetary value of it that he does stand to gain. He wants it to be maintained by Levi, in other words, that he bought from Reuben who stole it from Shimon, because if it goes to Yehuda, then he lost everything, he doesn't even get the monetary value. So then that's the Gemara, Loi Tzricha. No, he doesn't stand to gain anything, even the monetary value, because the case that it's talking about is the Miss Goslin, is that the thief died, which right now, that means to say the original owner, the victim, Shimon, gives up hope not only from the object, which was already acquired by Levi, and therefore doesn't stand to gain, he doesn't stand to gain, if Levi holds on to it or not, even the monetary value of it. The reason for that is because when someone steals something and then he dies, the Yarshim, the inheritors, don't have to pay the value to the thief. Now, what the Gemara is saying is, and for sure all the more so by Lekeach, who acquires it because there was Yish and Shin Rishus, where it came to him permissibly, he could hold on to the object, and there's no one that has to pay the monetary value, only the Gazan. The Gazan's not alive anymore, so therefore, he gives up hope not only from the actual object, but even the monetary value of the object, because the Gazan's dead. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, which will prove this idea that he's not Negeya Be'edus, and therefore he could say testimony for Levi that he loses the rights, even for the monetary value, if the Gazan died. And the case that we're discussing is that the Gazan died. As we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama, Mishnah says, "Hagozel u'machil es banav." Someone steals something, and then he feeds it to his children. So the chiddush in that is that even though his children benefited themselves from what was stolen, they're exempt because they didn't steal anything. Their father who stole it gave it to them. So too, v'nich lefneim, which means, or the father left it in front of them. So even if the stolen item is extant, it's still here after the father died, peturin milashalim. So then the inheritors are exempt from paying back the value to the gazlan, to the victim. And the reason is because they acquired it with yish, because it was miyash, and shin rishus, because it went from their father to them, the inheritors. Or another interpretation actually is that the case of a nichlef name actually is talking about that when they ate it already. As the Gemara there explains, that it was actually one case. And therefore, he doesn't stand to gain anything, not just the object, but even the value of the object, because the Gazan's dead. So he can't get back the monetary value, and neither can he get back the object, and therefore he can take testimony in such a situation. That's to say for the Braisa, when it's a para or a talis, because it was already kind of with Yish and Shein Rishus. But the Gemara still asks on Rav Sheshes, who he explained the reisha of the braisa by when someone sells a house or a field, that where it was stolen and then sold to another party. Now, the reason why he said this, as the Gemara explained, was because the seifa, since the seifa has to be gazel amacher, so to the reisha he says by gazel amacher. By that, as the Gemara, it's still difficult. Why does it have to be talking about that it was stolen and then sold off? For velukma b'yairish. Why don't you say the case about an inheritor? In other words, if it's true that you're telling me the way you have to answer the braisa according to Rav Sheshes is that it was stolen and then sold, and moreover, as we just had to answer in the Gemara's question, that the gazlan passed away. That's the way he's saying, because or else he still stands to gain for the actual monetary value. So then the difficulty is, and then why did the Tana have to push himself and contrive to create the case conceptualization and explain it only when the gazlan sold it off? But the question is, even if he didn't sell it off, only you have one of the other variables, which anyway you say the braisa has to be talking about, that the gazlan died. So then very simply, once he dies, it gets inherited by his sons, by his children. Then you could have already found the difference to explain the halacha between the reisha and the seifa without even saying selling it off. Because you could say as follows. Reuben stole a field from Shimon. Then Reuben the gazlan died. And then his son Levi inherited. You don't have to talk about any another act over here of selling. You're saying he's dying anyway, because you have to explain that as we just explained. So he dies and his son Levi inherits. Then comes Yehuda and he contests and says that it's his. That the braisa could say that Shimon cannot go ahead and testify for Levi, the son of Reuben, that it's not Yehuda's. Because as we said, karka does not get stolen. And then he's going to be able to go ahead and collect it back from the Yerush. There's no halach of Yishin Rishus regarding karka. Now because of that, he's negei be'edus. Because if Yehuda would take it away from the Yerush, as we said in the previous daf, Shimon is not going to be able to get it back because wherever it is right now, that's where it's going to be maintained because his witnesses are going to be canceled out by Yehuda's witnesses. But by the Seifa, when Reuven stole a movable item, that of talus or a cow from Shimon, and then Reuven died, and then Reuven's son Levi inherited his father, and then Yehuda comes and contests, there Shimon could testify for Levi because there you already had Yish when it was by Reuven the Gazlan. And then you had Shin Rishus when it went from Reuven to his son Levi, who inherited him. Because the Rishus of a Yerush is like a Rishus of a Kech. It's a transfer from the father to the son. And then it's not going to go back to the victim, neither the cow nor the value. Because the Gazlan's dead, so he's not getting the value. And neither is he going to get back the actual cow because he already had Yish and Shin Rishus. And therefore he's not going to be in the gain, Be'edus. And therefore that's what the Tanya the Braisa should have said. Should have said that if he steals a house and then he dies, and the son inherits him. So regarding karka, he cannot testify. But if he stole a cow and then he dies and the son inherits him, then he could, the victim could testify. Why does it have to say another element about selling it off? You don't need that. Now, the Rashbam just explains one point. Although the words of the Gemara are belukma b'yerish, you should explain it by inheritor, it's not precise. It really means listen yerish. It should have said in the braisa yerish. It's just because it was asking the questions on Rav Sheshes that it was explaining it by a gazlan. So the Gemara says, but why explain it by a gazlan? Explain it as a yerush. But you can't really explain it really as a yerush because the Brice explicitly says the case of machar. It's just that Rav Sheshes wasn't even going with the literal translation. He had this whole case in these words of the Brisa. So therefore the Gemara asks that, okay, so don't explain it like this, explain it like this. But really, the only way you would be able to resolve the Brisa is it should have said lemisni hayrish. Then, according to Rav Sheshes, it shouldn't have said that it's talking about by selling it off. The braisa should have said that it's talking about by inheritor. The Gemara qualifies the question. Hanich lemando amar. It would be very well that it wouldn't be difficult in Rav Sheshes, according to the opinion that's brought in Hagozel Basra on that Mishnah that we mentioned, that says rishus yairish, the domain of the inheritor of the thief, is lav krishus lekeach, is not like the domain of someone that buys from the gazlan dummy, because whereas by lekeach, you have yish by the gazlan, and you b'shin rishus by the lekeach, and then he acquires the actual object, where because the domain of lekeach is considered a different domain, in contrast to a yairish, who what the words are, karidavu, is like the knees of his father, it's like he maintains the domain of the gazlan. That's how the yerush is considered, and therefore you don't see it as a shin rishus, and all there is yerush, and yerush itself is not going to acquire it because you don't have shin rishus by a yerush. Now, so wherever it is, if it's still around, so it goes back to the nigzel. Now,
Rashbam just explains that according to that opinion, the Mishnah that says over there v'nich lefneim peturin, which sounds like that if it's here they're exempt, and we're explaining according to that opinion that it's there's no shinui rishus, and then if it's around it has to be given back. They are the ones who explain, as we alluded to before, that it's talking about the same as a continuation of the first case over there, which is when they really consumed it. When it's not, when the actual stolen item is not around, therefore they're going to be exempt. But if the actual stolen item is around, they actually have to give it back because they're considered an extension of their father's domain. So says the Gemara, Shapir. According to that interpretation, so that would make sense and it wouldn't be difficult on Rav Sheshes, and therefore we didn't explain the Seifa of a Braisa. In other words, the Braisa didn't say it in the case of a Yairish, because then you wouldn't be able to say that the victim could testify regarding the Yairish regarding it, because actually then the cow or the talus would go back to the victim if he would maintain it by the Yairish, because you don't have Yish and Shin Rishos, and he would be in the Gei Be'edus, and therefore we couldn't say it by Yairish, and we had to say it by selling it off, and therefore then the Reisha also had to be by selling it off. But what the Gemara does explain the question is, but according to the opinion over there that says that the domain of inheritor is just like a transfer is to the domain of a lekeach, where the Yerush acquires it, even if the actual stolen item is around, because they learn the Mishnah there literally, v'nich lefneim peturin is even if the actual stolen item is around, because you have shinu, you have Yerush, and then shinu rishus when it goes from father to inheritor to son. So So that's the Gemara's question. According to that opinion, what are you going to say? It shouldn't have had to say Gazlu Macher, even for the Seifa. It could have just said Gazl, and then he died. Because anyway you say it has to be Toman that he died. And then Gazl V'Yarish. So even without the variable of sale, it would have made sense. Because since you're saying Rav Sheshes has explained that the Gazl died anyway, so why do you have to add on another variable about selling, which even if you want to say Agav Seifa, the Seifa doesn't need to have selling either. It could be just be where he dies. And then regarding inheritance, that itself could make a differentiation between the Reisha of Karka and the Seifa Metalton. That's question number one on Rav Sheshes' interpretation. Boit Kashalayla Abai says the Gemara, another difficulty that Abai had with Rav Sheshes' interpretation that he explains the Braisa that's talking about where someone stole and then sold it off, where he has to explain the words of the Braisa, Mepnei Shachriyusolav, when the Reisha says, oh, because the Achrayis is on him, and the Sefer that says, ve'in Achrayus olav, but there's no Achrayis on him, we explained the previous daf, where, although literally that usually means one thing, Rav Sheshes gave it like a new interpretation in those words. Although usually it means one thing, he explained it as, what does it mean, Achrayus olav? It means the Achris, the end, and the merit that the one who's testifying, meaning the victim, on the one that he's testifying, who's the Lekech, is a love, is on that Levi, that is, that Shimon's testifying because ultimately he wants to take it away from Levi. So that's the bias. That's what the words Achriyus Olav. The difficulty with that is that we never find in the Gemara that whenever you use the words Achriyus Olav, that it should mean that the Achrayus is on the Lekeach, meaning that the victim wants to ultimately take it away from the Lekeach. Rather, it always means that it's on the Meicher, where the insurance and liability of the buyer is on the seller. So the question is, according to Rav Sheshes, the Braisa should not have used those words, Achriyus Olav. It should have said that if, let's say, he sells him a house or sells him a field, so it should say he cannot testify, because it's ultimately going to come back to him. Or in the case of the Seifa, when it says that he sells him a cow or a talus, he could testify. He should have said that because there ve'ena chezeresle, because there it doesn't come back to me bailey. That's what it should have said. Shouldn't use the words he's used, achrayus olav, which, although Rav Sheshes is finding a way to interpret his definition in those words, that's not what it usually means. So because of these two questions of Rav Sheshes, the Gemara gives a different interpretation for the Braisa and the previous daf. Elika the Rav and Bar Shmuel, rather says the Gemara that we're going to interpret the Braisa like Rav and Bar Shmuel. And that's what the halacha, the ratio of the Braisa is coming to explain. And it's not talking about the way Rav Sheshes had explained it, that where someone stole and then he sold it off. Now Rashbam says, although that actually is the halacha, like we explained earlier, like Rav Sheshes, but just you can't explain the Braisa like that just because of the technical questions we have on it, as we just explained. So rather, says the Gemara, like Rav and Bar Shmuel, Damar Rav and Bar Shmuel, Mishmei de Shmuel, he says the following halacha. He says, HaMeicher Sada Lechaveri. If someone sells a field to his friend, which already had a lien on it to this seller's creditors, and then he sells it to this other person, and he sells it shloi b'achrayus without taking responsibility, without insurance, and then a different person comes and contests this field, some other person, not this guy's creditor, someone else contests this, what are you guys doing here? This is my field. Your field? I bought it from this guy. And this guy says, yeah, this was my field. So says Shmuel, ain made lo yalav. The seller cannot testify for the lekech to establish with someone else a testimony that this is lekech's field. Why not? Because the responsibility of this guy's creditor, what happens is that he's going to put, he needs his buyer to maintain it. Why is he needed to maintain it? He has no achrayus, didn't sell them with insurance. So what's the negius? Negius is, and we explained this on the previous daf, is that because he has a creditor, this seller, and he doesn't have any property himself. So he wants that the one he sold the field to should maintain it so that his own creditor could go ahead and collect from the one that he sold it to. Because the seller does not want to be what's called a lay berush b'lo yishalom. Because if he's not going to pay a loan, a debt that he has, he's going to be considered a wicked person. Now, regards to the one who bought it from him, although it's going to be taken away from him, he's not considered wicked because he sold them without taking any insurance. Look, you want to take a risk, take a risk. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the halacha that our Reisha of our Bryce is talking about, that he cannot testify because he's negei be'edus. He has something that there's a bias regarding that he wants his lekech to maintain it. Now, and that's what the Bryce was saying, but now this applies only if he sold a house or a field. We're there again, we're explaining this, and therefore he can't testify. Like the way the simple translation of the Bryce is, because what achrayis? There's the achrayis of his creditor on that field, where if that gets taken away, he's then going to be a labor rush of Yishalom. Avol, but says the Gemara, regarding the seif, when he sells him a par vitalis, when he sells him a cow or a cloak to this lekeach, and then a random person comes and contests the ownership of this cow, then the Braisa says that the meicher could testify with lekeach, and as we explained in the Reisha, same thing as in the seifer, that he sold him without insurance, because there is no gain that the seller could have, which we explained in the Reisha regarding his creditor going ahead and collecting from this movable item, which, let's say, would have a lien on it that he sold to someone else. Because as the Gemara will explain, even if he made it in a paitiki, which is a very strong lien that he made for his creditor, and then, however, he sold it to someone else, then, as Rava says, he cannot go ahead and collect it from the person that he sold it off to. So therefore, it turns out that he has no negiyas here whatsoever. Because he has nothing to gain that's staying by the person that he sold it to, because anyways, his creditor cannot get it from him, and he has no responsibility or insurance for this guy. So that since he stands to gain nothing, he could testify for the cow or the talis that he sold to this person. As Zigmar explains, we don't have to tell you that this is the halacha as we continue to medbeis, bistama. In general, where he didn't specifically set aside this cow or his talis to his creditor, delay mishtab delay. Where there, the cow or the talis did not have a lien by the creditor on it. My time, why not? Why is it different than karka that there's a lien on all his property that then its creditor could collect from from the buyer, and therefore he can't testify in the ratio, whereas in the safe he could? Is it because metat lienin, because it's a movable item. And Allah is metat l'bal chayv l'mishtabdi, that movable items do not have a lien and do not become indebted to creditors. Now the reason for that is, as the Gemara will shortly explain, is that there's no koil, there's no, the word doesn't get out that this cow has a lien on it, and therefore consumers are not careful. Now the reason why this halacha is like this, because if there would be a lien, then no one would ever go ahead and buy movable items. Commerce would eventually become extinct, because, well, how do I know? There's no way for me to know that there's a coil, that there's no word, the word doesn't get out there, that there's a lien on this cow or car or whatever it is, and I'm not going to buy anything because it might just be taken away from me. So therefore the halacha is that actually, since there is no coil, there is no halacha of shibud on metatlin. Now, but moreover, says the Gemara, v'afagav dekasavlei, even if the seller writes to his creditors, megli medal kasvei, that you can even take the shirt off my back, which they have the rights to, says the Gemara, Hanimila de Isnu Benayu. That's only if it's still extant, that's only if it's still by the seller, meaning the debtor, that's when they could take even the shirt off his back, meaning even movable items. Avalesnu Benayu, but if it's not around anymore, if he sold it off, then no. So says the Gemara, that I don't have to tell you that that's why the halacha of the Sefer is, since it's a movable item, that then he doesn't stand to gain anything, the seller, who is the debtor, because his creditors can't take the movable item from the one that he sold it to. But says the Gemara, even more than that, even if he made this cow or this talus into an apaitiki, which are the words paitehe koi, which is that he designates the collection of the debt. If I don't pay up by this amount of time, you could go ahead and take this item and you know what it is, you know for sure you can get it. Even there, nami lai. Even there, the creditor would not be allowed to go ahead and collect that from the one that the seller, the debtor, sells it to. My time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, could the Rava, like Rava says. Because the Amar Rava, Rava said, if a borrower goes and makes avdai apaitiki, he makes his slave into a designated collectible item to his creditor, and then in spite of that, he sells it off. Afterwards, this borrower sells it up to someone else, says Rava, so then the creditor could collect from him because this was designated, earmarked for him to collect from. But, and this is the point that the Gemara is bringing out, but let's say he makes his ox or his donkey into an apaitiki and then he sells it off, says Rava, ein bal chayv goyvim, and then the creditor cannot collect from it, even if it's an apaitiki. My time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, because hai is leikala. By a slave, the word gets out that this is something, that this is a type of a slave that has a lien on him, and therefore if someone buys him after the lien, it's his own loss, because he heard about it and he didn't care, he invested anyway and bought it. But vahal less leikala, but by a cow and a talus, the word doesn't get out. And consumers don't know, they can't know about it to be aware, and therefore it's not something that's going to be their liability, and therefore the creditors cannot collect it from consumers or else commerce would totally stop. Now, therefore, says the Gemara, that's why in the Seifa, the seller could testify for the buyer that it's not this other person's Yehudas, because anyway, it's not going to benefit him in regards to his creditors, because his creditors anyways cannot collect from this person that he sold it to. Now, however, the Gemara asks, still, in the case of the Seifa by the cow and the talus, why are we saying that the seller could testify for him? But Valechish, we still have to be concerned that Dilma Aknile, that maybe this seller went and acquired this metatli that he sold to this person, agav mikarkoi, through the dint of land to his creditor to make it indebted that he could collect his debt if he doesn't pay by a certain date from not only from karka, which every creditor could collect from, but even metatlin. And then he went and he sold it to this other person. When he then goes and testifies for the buyer that it's his, he is negeba edus, because that could be collected from his creditor, from his buyer. And the way you could have that is that you could have a shibud, a metalklin for bal chayiv, is when you go ahead and you do it through karka. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rabba, Rabba said that I aknili metatli agagamer karkoi, if someone acquires something to somebody in a movable item through the kinyan of the non-movable item through karka, konimi karkoi and konim metatli. So that person acquires not only the karka, but also the metatlin. And therefore, the creditor would be allowed to collect the metatlin from the lekuches. Now the reason for that is because nechasim she'ein lemachrayis, that there's no insurance for, there's no liability, which are like metatlin, are nikna, are acquired with nechasim that do have achrayis, which are karka, in regards to halachas of a gift, which is, if let's say you do a kinyan of either kesef, shtar, or chazak on the karka, you automatically acquire the metatlin. With that, the same thing, says the Gemara, applies to a shibud, to a lien, where since it takes effect, the shibud regarding the land, so too takes effect regarding the metatlin. Now, however, the reason why the Gemara is saying it only that you could create a shibud on the metatlin, aga of the karka, is because if let's say he acquired to him the shibud only on the metatlin, let's say by doing a kinyan with a sudur, with a kerchief, called a kinyan chalipin, to be mishabed his that movable item when the time comes, if it doesn't pay up, that actually would not create a kinyan. And even if he says a terminology of gifting it to him, the reason for that is because actually that would fall into the category of a smachta. Meaning whenever you say de, that if, meaning if I don't pay up by this time, then you could collect from this, that's what's called an smachta, which is a reliance, saying that, you know, that's what I promise. A smachta is not kain, as the Gemara says about Metzeit Av Samach Vav Mabay. So that wouldn't work regarding Metatlin. But Karka, a lien could take effect. And you made a kinyan on it, and then you could actually make the Shibud on Metatlin through the Shibud of the Karka. Now, the Gemara just qualifies and says, Deva Amrav Chizdi, he explained that to do that, however, to make a Shibud on the Metatlin through the Karka, B'hu dekasev lei, but it's only if that he writes on the document of the shibud, of the lien, that he's creating a total shibud of the metatlin through the karka. Now, the reason for this is because since it's not really a full-fledged sale, it's not a gift, it's not a mashkin, rather it's just a shibud ba'alma, it's just a lien, so it is still similar to a smachta, which is, I promise, it's someone that's saying, I'm relying on this, but if not, you can have this. Where, since he's telling him, if I don't pay you by this time, then you could collect from here. So therefore, you have to write certain words to strengthen the documentation, because it's still a little bit like a smachta, which would not be koina. So Rav Chisda qualifies, he says that you have to write the loika smachta. You have to write in the document that it's not like an smachta, because if it was a smachta, then it would not be a valid kinyan. And also, udeloi kutuv sedeshtari. And also that it's not like the document which was made like the text of the documents, which were only used, it was written up like a document, where they only used to copy other documents from that, but that it wasn't written to collect from. In other words, told my things that don't have substance. You have to write that, no, this is something that does have substance. But that's the Gemara's question, that there is feasibly a case where there could be a shibud, even on matatlin. So then how do we let this seller go ahead and testify for the buyer that there could be, technically, even by Metatlin, for the case of the Sefer, where he would be negated of, but he would gain that his credit could collect, and therefore he shouldn't be allowed to testify. That says the Gemara, the Hochma Iskinon, what are we talking about over here that we said in the Sefer, the Brisa, that he could testify? Is Kegon Shalokach, is where he went and he bought this cow or this talis, Umacher, and then he sold it to this person, Li Alter, immediately, and we saw in front of him, we saw when he bought it, and we saw when he sold it. We're there for sure, there is no loan, there was no loan that he took in the interim, and therefore there was no shibud of that property because it wasn't chal on it beforehand because he didn't have that property, and there was no loan from when he bought it to when he sold it. So therefore, there's no concern for us to think that maybe there's going to be a shibud from the Baal Chayiv to collect from this movable item. That's the case that's talking about. Now the Gemara still asks, Bavalechish, we should still be concerned. Dilma de iknehu, maybe this was something different. You're right. He didn't have a loan from when he bought it to when he sold it. But maybe there's still a concern that when he went and regarding this cow and this talis that he was going to buy, that he gave that kinyan to his lender, as we said, aga merkakoi, through the land. Now, how would that be talking about? Before he takes the loan, he writes to the lender in the document. He says that I am going to make a lien for you on this cow or this talis through my land, where anything that I'm going to buy right now is acquired to you. So when he then ultimately buys the cow or the talis after that, then they automatically take effect, the shibud that was there from before when the loan was before he bought it. So then the question is, so then why could he testify? There isn't a gibidavar, because then that metatlin, which although there was no loan in between when he bought it, when he sold it, but the shibud from before is chal on it, so then there is a shibud on it, and it's his credit could collect from it, so why could he maintain it by the buyer and not let this other Yehuda go ahead and take it away? So the Gemara proves from the fact that obviously our Gemara was not concerned with this, because it said that for receiving the Braisa, the way we just described it, that he could testify, and we explained because there was nothing in between, but how do we know nothing happened, no loan happened beforehand, and he did the ikni? Obviously, says the Gemara, that shamit mina, that you could infer from this, that someone that writes in the document to his lender, that he writes the ikni, in other words, if he tells his friend that any properties that I'm going to buy, that it's already pre-sold to you, or already there's a lien on it from already now, even though I don't even have it yet, and then afterwards he's kano umach, and then afterwards he goes and he buys and he sells to someone else. Or let's say he writes to him this de'ikni, and then he's kana, he buys it, and then afterwards the one who bought it, then he dies, v'hayrish, and then he bequeaths it to his children, that obviously loy mishtabed, that obviously the shibud does not take effect to the one that he wrote it to beforehand. Now the reason for that would be because a person cannot be makna l'chaver, cannot acquire to someone else something that he didn't even get yet, even though he's going to ultimately get it. Now, this, however, is the Gemara's question. Is a Gemara's question later on the Perek Mishmeis, which is not resolved. But that asked the Gemara, why is that question later on not resolved? Sounds like from over here clearly that the Shibud would not be Chal, because if it was, then you'd be back to the question, why over here in the Sefer could he testify? Maybe he pre-Shibudized it, he already gave him and said that whatever I'm going to buy is already Meshubud to you, and then he wouldn't be able to testify, and yet here we see that he could testify, obviously because the Shibud does not take effect. And that says the Gemara, no. Like, Tzricha, that actually this that the Sefer the Braisa says that he could testify, and that we're not concerned that maybe he was maknet to him already from beforehand, the loan was a year beforehand, on the metalton that he's going to buy through the karka, says the Gemara, very simply. You're right, maybe that could work. But here we're talking about the Ka'ami Eidim, that witnesses testify, Yedinan Be'bahai, we know regarding this seller, to Lo Havale Arami Eilim, that he never owned a piece of property in his life. Now, so therefore, you can't have that feasibility of him having been makna this metaltlin agav mikarkoi, because he never had land, and that's why he could testify. Because since he sold this cow or this talis without insurance to this buyer, and moreover, he cannot go ahead and keep it and want to maintain it by his buyer because of his creditor, because as we said, because his creditor can't collect from metaltlin, it could only be agav karka, and this guy doesn't never had karka in his life. So therefore, there's no negius and edus whatsoever, and therefore, in the sefer, he could testify. Now, Rashbam points out, now, according to what the Gemara is saying now, you don't have to say that it was talking about where we saw him buy and sell immediately, because even if he didn't buy and sell immediately, it doesn't make a difference. There's no halacha of him selling it, of being making the shibud agam kakoy, because he never had a piece of property in his life. So then why didn't the Gemara say, elo loy tzricha, which loy tzricha sounds like we're maintaining the Gemara's previous assumptions in the explanation. It would have been more appropriate to say Ella, rather, because it's a new teretz, it's not maintaining that it has to be that kana and macher la'alta. It's just because there was no specific amira who had given the previous Gemara's answer. It was just the Gemara saying it, which this is many times in the Gemara like that, so therefore the Gemara just says loy tzricha. If there was a previous amira, and then there's a different amira disputing, it says, no, Ella loy tzricha, but since it wasn't any specific amira, that's why it just says loy tzricha, which is a new answer that the Gemara is giving, where they said that he never had land, therefore there's no concern of having acquired it to his bachayiv, and since it's metaltlin, therefore there's no negibidav, and that's where he could testify. Now, the Gemara still asks, V'omer ha'papa, it's still not so simple, this halacha, the sefer, that there's no negias, there's no bias here whatsoever that the seller has to the one who bought from him this movable item, this cow, and this talis. Because V'omer ha'papa says, Avagav the omer ha'banon ha'meicher sod l'chaver shloi b'chrayas, although the rabbis say, that if someone sells a field to someone else without insurance, look, take it as it is. Something happens, I'm not taking any responsibility. That then the halacha is uba b'alchei b'tarfa, then if the creditor of this seller comes and grabs it away from the keach, so halacha is in the chazer lo. He can't go back to the seller because the guy says, I warned you. I said, I'm not taking responsibility. You bought it as is. So although that's the halacha, but says Rav Papa, the halacha is, if nimtza she'ina shaloi, if it turns out that it was never the seller's in the first place, meaning if witnesses come along and testify that this guy you bought from, it was never his. He stole it from someone else and sold it to you. And then the rightful owner of the field comes and takes it away from the lekeach, says Rav Papa, chayzer alav, then the buyer, although he bought it without insurance, could go back to the seller and collect what's rightfully his, because it wasn't a sale in the first place. Now, in other words, if you say regarding a case when a creditor comes and collects it from the lekeach, so there was a sale. Now, why is that a sale? Why is it any different than if he stole it or if he had a creditor waiting to collect? It's because it's normal for a person to sell a piece of land even for one day because of getting the produce of that one day, as the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where the payers that he ate, he gets to keep. As the Gemara says in Shmuel says in the Perek Shnayim Oichsin there, Tesvav Amud Aleph, that when a creditor comes and collects from a lekeach, he collects the shvach, which is only the shvach, but the payers, the actual payers, that he doesn't. That the one who bought the field gets to keep. In contrast, when that's what the Gemara's question is, by a lekeach, someone that buys from a gazlan, the Gemara there says, in that if someone sells to his friend a field, and it turns out it was never his, Shmuel says that the guy gets his money back, but the shvach does not go to the lekeach. He doesn't get any of the profit. Rather, the land goes back and the pay would go back. Every shvach goes back to the real owner, who is the victim. He gets everything back. Now, therefore, the Gemara's question is, since the one who bought gains nothing, so it comes out that it was essentially not a sale at all. By a machoiv, at least it was a sale, although it got taken away very quickly, but he gets to keep the payers. But in regards to when he bought it from a goslin, there was no sale. He gained nothing out of it. So therefore, the same thing is also over here regarding the case of the cow and the talis. Why is the seller allowed to testify? But we could say that he has an negiyah be'edus. Why? Because it is preferable for the seller that it should be maintained by this leikach. Because if the one who's contesting gets to take it away from the one who bought it from him, with witnesses that it always belonged to this Yehuda, to the one who's contesting, so it comes out that it was never belonged to the sellers. Rather, it was that he had stolen it from the one who's contesting, that it's his, and that he then sold it to this other person. So what's going to come out is that the lekach then is going to be allowed to go back and collect from the meicher, even though he sold them without insurance. But that, says Rav Papa, that halacha of Shlei Bachrais does not apply to gezeila, because gezeila was never a sale. If it's a sale, but I'm not taking responsibility, fine, it's a sale, but there's no responsibility. When you stole it and sold it, you're not taking responsibility, it wasn't a sale. Then he could go back and collect from the meicher. So of course the meicher is invested over here. He does not want someone else to take it away if they're going to testify that he stole it from that original person, because then he's going to have to compensate the buyer for what he had bought from the seller. So the Gemara says, you're right, but hacha ma'iskina, what are we talking about over here? In the Braisa, it's b'makir bar, it's with the buyer recognizes, and moreover, he admits in front of witnesses, that this cow that he's buying, he knows, is the child of the seller's cow. And he knows that he never stole it. So too, this talis that he's buying from him, he says, I know, I saw him weaving it in his house. Now, since the buyer is admitting this, that's what fits into the category of hadois badin kemei edim dami. When someone admits himself, it's like 100 witnesses testifying to that effect. Now, when this other person comes and contests and wants to remove it from the lekach, where either with false witnesses, or let's say he makes a mistake that he thinks that this is his own animal, but really it's the seller's animal. But the point is that right now, even if let's say he'll win and he'll get it from this buyer, the buyer cannot go back and collect from the seller, because since he already admitted and he's saying that I know that it is the seller's, so it's like he's testifying that this person that's coming to, that's contesting, is lying. So it's like he's testifying for the seller to invalidate the witnesses of the ma'ar, where in that type of situation, the seller is not negibidav. Because the whole negibidav, we said, would be if it turns out that he had stolen and then the lekech is going to be able to go out and collect from him, the lekech cannot go back and collect from him. Because once he admits and says, I know this is the one who sold it to me, that it's his, so then even if it turns out that, at least in the court proceedings, that this other person proves and gets to take it, he cannot go back and collect it from the one who sold it to him. Now, the Rashbam just points out, so why did if we're talking about a parah and a talis, why is it talking about bas chamayroi, that's the child of his donkey? It's only because later on the Gemara mentions this idea and uses chamayroi, that's why the Gemara borrows it. But really it's talking about that he knows it's the child of this cow, or it's he saw this talis being woven, and if there is no negiyah, and that's why he could testify. Now, Rav Zvirama actually, he says that actually even if the buyer does not recognize that this is bas chamayroi, still the seller could testify. Why? Didn't we say that then the buyer could go back if it turns out it was stolen, like Rav Papa said? And then Rav Zvid says, no, he says, afila nimtzah she'ina shaloi. Even if it turns out that it was most definitely stolen and it wasn't the seller's, he disagrees with Rav Papa. He says, eina chayzer lav, he cannot go back and collect what was sold to him from the thief. Because the thief could tell him, that's why I sold you without insurance. In other words, he disagrees with the premise of a papa. He says that, no, even if it turns out, not only if there's a creditor takes away from me, if it even turns out I was a thief and I stole you stolen stuff, I said, look, I'm selling it to you as is. And even if someone takes it away and proves that I was a ganav, he still cannot come and collect from me. And therefore, again, he stands to lose nothing. And therefore, he's not invested whatsoever. And that's why he could testify for the lekeach to maintain it, that it's his and not this other person, this Yehuda, that's contesting that it's his. And that explains the halacha of the Braisa, when the Reisha cannot testify, because as we explained, that there he does have a bias because his creditors could go ahead and collect from the karka which he sold off, because karka is meshubet b'chayv. Whereas again, as we explained, the Seifa, where it's metalin and the metalin and not meshtabdi, and therefore there is no investment here whatsoever, and that's why the Seifa explains that he could go ahead and testify for the one who bought from him the movable items.